All right, back in session for item number 8, presentation on refuse rates and state mandate. Can Brad get us started?
Well, if you don't mind, I'll do the presentation from here. Is that okay? Would you like me to?
That's fine.
The podium.
I'm just kidding.
All right, so the refuse services. Tonight is just a discussion to introduce. We will come back at our next city council meeting for another one where we'll actually do an action item. Today's to really give you background on what is happening and to give you a chance to start weighing in on this process. So, to avoid explaining too much, I will just give you the simple details. So, there are a couple things going on with solid waste, refuse. I'll probably use the words interchangeably, not intentionally tonight, but just
trash.
To both the same trash. Trash is just a part of it. The
okay.
State now is mandating organic recycling. So in October 2014, Governor Brown signed AB 1826, requiring businesses to recycle their organic waste. You may recall we're having a lot of discussion with the school district a while ago about that process. Well, on January 1st, now all businesses that generate 4 cubic yards or more of commercial solid waste refuse per week must now also do the organic waste recycling. That's going to be schools, some of the restaurants, some of these have to do this. We don't have organic recycling on our fee schedule. And so we don't have a rate we're going to be charging people for this service now, but it's one that has to be provided by state mandate. Which means to get it on there, we need to go through a Prop 218 process to get on there. That's one side of it. Let's go to the next slide there. For background, if you want to know what it is, you have the food waste. Green waste has always kind of been there, but now it's lumped into this larger organics body. Landscape and pruning waste, non-hazardous food waste, which I tell you is always difficult to figure out at home what goes where. Mm-hmm. And then the food soiled paper waste.
Non-hazardous wood waste or non-hazardous food waste?
I'm a little dyslexic tonight, so that's
okay.
Wood waste, yeah.
Okay.
So you're not going to have some of your painted woods and that kind of stuff going into mm-hmm. that pile. And then how is it recycled? You have composting, mulching, and then anaerobic digestion are different ways that they deal with that process. I did not do well in biology, so don't ask me to describe the one. Other classes, sure, but not biology. So then the other side is the refuse services. So Mid Valley Disposal does a great job of providing the service to the city. We have Solon here often. She's giving presentations to you. We've had a little contest lately where they really do a good job of taking care of the community. So they provide trash hauling, recyclables collection, and the green waste, and now the additional organic collection. They were assigned the contract on September 30, 2014. So assigned means that there was a different provider that Mid-Valley purchased. And when that happens, all the contracts are in that prior vendor's name, and you have to assign them to the new one so they can function on that contract. And so they made that purchase, took over as the disposal contractor. And in there where it addresses compensation for it, there's a desired increase for consumer price indexes, but there's no rate increases without a Prop 218. And so we also want to make adjustments to the rates to cover their increase in costs since 2014, fuel and other things. And so that's part of the rate too. Since we have to do the one, we'll do them both at the same time. So the system, this is how it works. You have Mid Valley Disposal provides a service to the community, but they don't take payments directly from the community. As all of you know, the city manages that site. And so we send out monthly bills to the community. They make monthly payments to us. And then from that, we send, based on monthly bills that we get from Mid Valley, we pay them for the services they provide to the community. And so what's driving the process for the Prop 218? Well, one is a state-mandated organics recycling, and the other is to allow for cost recovery. Fuel increases, there's other things going on in the world even with, it's not just tariffs on goods, but China's also decided we're not taking recyclables anymore. So there's different costs and things that are building up for Mid Valley. And so what is a process? This one's 2 slides long. I think it's seven steps. We'll go through them. The first one is council considers the report. The report is in your packet. It's something we posted on the city website. It's the analysis of what goes into these fee schedules and why we'd want to do them on the service fees. Step two is that council, this next city council meeting, would then set the date for the public hearing. Now, sometimes for public hearings, we'll have a 10-day notice or a 20-day notice. This is a 45-day notice for Prop 218. And not just posting it in the newspaper, we have to mail notices to all of the accounts that Mid-Valley services. So everyone gets something to their door that says, there's consideration of the rate fee schedule changing for this.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you were talking about the organic is now going to be something that we have to do now, right? And there's no mm-hmm. fee. But you were talking about the schools do it already, mm-hmm. right? And the restaurants are going to have to do it now? They're not doing it right now? And what has that got to do with the rest of us? I thought it was just like the rest. Like
so the organics won't hit individuals because they're not a business that generates more than 4 cubic yards
right.
of waste per week. But in order to charge the businesses, we have to have it on our fee schedule. The only way we can have it on our fee schedule is for a Prop 218 that's approved by council. And so to update our fee schedule.
Oh, by council.
No. The council authorizes to do the 218,
right.
And the community-wide votes on the 218. And it's that mm-hmm. approval that allows it to happen.
And would it affect individual residents or families?
No, because they're not a business and they don't generate
the court. Because there's two issues. There's the organics, which is stuff,
right.
It's not covered for right now.
Right.
And so that needs to be added on so that we can actually charge it so that the general fund is not eating that money.
Paying for that. Mm-hmm.
And then the second part is that Mid-Valley is requesting a rate increase. That would affect everybody.
Yes.
Okay, so two separate things.
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be while.
Yes.
Correct. Yes, because it's adopting the fee schedule. In the
okay.
Vote.
So are we initiating the Prop 218?
Council has to set a public hearing date, and that public hearing date is when residents would come, and we'll kind of run through it here. So it's step four then.
Yeah,
so
but who's initiating Prop 218?
The council sets a public hearing. At the public hearing is where the 218 process occurs.
Yeah, but who's initiating
is it
Prop 218?
Federal,
is it the city that's initiating? Who gave it Prop 218 its name?
Well, where does Prop 218 come from?
So it is the state of California.
The state of California requires that if you're going to address,
okay,
you're going to address somebody's rates, what they're going to pay, they have a right to vote on that.
Mm-hmm.
They have a right to protest it if they want to. It's called a Prop 218.
I'm sorry. I should have explained that part.
Okay. So that's what we're going to be discussing, and that's statewide.
So
it's any time, it is statewide, so Prop 218 covers the whole state, and it says anytime you're going to raise a fee basically on a property owner, you have to put it out there's two types of votes that they can go. But this one would be a protest vote. So it would be the same thing like on water, it would be the same thing on sewer if you were adjusting rates on that. It's the same process. And so anytime there's an increase without a CPI built into it, then you have to go back to the voters to do that.
Mm-hmm. And a CPI is a consumer price index. It's an inflation number. So I'm sorry. I should not assume that. So a Prop 218 is just the process we go to adjust our rates that accounts for public involvement in that process.
So will it go on the ballot as a Prop 218?
It's not an actual ballot. What happens is that once you've said we're going to do this process, then we send out these notices through the newspaper and the residents, and you've got a copy of what that notice will look like in the packet.
Mm-hmm.
45 days after that, there's a meeting that would be a city council meeting. And that meeting would open a public hearing. Residents would have a chance to stand and speak in as proponents or opponents to it. At the end of that time, there would be a vote. And what they would do is they would turn in ballots that say, here's my address, here is my vote in opposition to it. And then we have to cross-check that to make sure there's only one vote per service account. And, you know, let's go ahead and jump to the next one. It kind of lays it all out here. So the staff then counts those votes. And the voting works this way. It's if the opposition vote tally, let's say we have 50 votes turned in, okay, all of them are in opposition to this. If those 50 votes are more than the number that equates to 50% of all service accounts, then it doesn't pass. If we have 3,000 service accounts, you need 15,001 valid opposition votes for the rates not to go into effect. It's a protest vote. If there's not that level, then the rates are accepted and go into effect.
So it's kind of slanted, right?
Right.
Yes. It's designed to allow these processes to work, but also include the public's involvement in that process. This is the process that the state of California has designated as a method by which communities address fee structures. Because before, you could just have a city council say, all right, we're going to triple the rate, and residents had no say in it. Now you have a process where they do. And so then, with that one vote per service location, we would make that count.
And who sets the fees? The rate. I mean, let's just say that it passes.
Mm-hmm.
And who sets that rate?
That's a good question. So what happens in that, page up and seems backwards. In your packet, let's go back to the agenda. Or maybe it's in the agenda. Let's go down a little bit. And let's actually run through this report to give you an idea what's in it. Go all the way down. So the report that we'll have on the website looks like this. It gives background information about why this is even happening. And then inside of it, at the very couple pages down here, it's going to have a next one. It's going to have the fee schedule. The fee schedule is going to be included in that notice. Okay? And it's going to say, okay, the present rate today, July 1st, 2019, for a residential automated service one day a week, that's everybody's regular trash. That's mm-hmm. what Sol was looking at when she was doing the contest for you. $22.68 a month was the city's base rate for that. What would happen then on November 1st, if this is approved, is that base rate would change from $22.68 to $25.04. That difference is the CIP increase from 2014 to 2019. That says that things in the economy have increased by that percentage from that time to this time. And so that is what would cover the costs for Mid-Valley. That's all the increase is just covering the cost. It's not an additional rate for the city. And so they've asked us, saying, hey, we're losing money on this. We can't continue and sustain the service. The rates need to be changed to come in line with what this is actually costing us. And as a city, our responsibility is to charge for a service the actual cost of that service, and right now we're not.
So these services are, this is only strictly for the service. This has nothing to do, so, for example, if they hire more people, does that percentage have anything to do with this?
Their internal costs? No.
So this is just strictly?
So this would set it for that year.
Okay.
And then what we have is built-in inflation adjusters that would be, in this scenario, 3% per year. I'm hearing from Mario that a better idea is probably to set it to whatever the CIP versus CPI increase is for that year. And their rates that the Bureau of Labor and Statistics at the federal level established and says this is the CPI mm-hmm. for that year, so it would be a federally established number that we would use to change those rates. And that would help the revenue from it keep up with the costs that Mid-Valley puts in. If they triple their staff, we don't triple our costs. That's just going to be a decision they make that happens.
More likely to happen is the minimum wage keeps going up and their labor costs go up like everybody's.
Yeah, well, I'm asking.
That's part of the
rates, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, could something else be done so the rates won't go up. So that's why I'm asking, is it strictly just the services that they're asking about and not that, okay, yeah, we need more people, so we're going to hire more people, therefore we need more money coming in, so who are we going to ask for that money? Who's going to come
yeah
to the cost?
No, I get, so I get it, but apparently we're falling behind on...
How often do the rates go up? Do you
know? Reading my mind. That's the next thing I was going to talk about. So what happens when you establish these is that you would set a 5-year fee schedule. Mm-hmm. It would have set increases adjusting for the inflation that would set in if you want that to be variable over those 5 years. That's it. They're locked in. At that point, they continue at that level, or the city does another Prop 218 mm-hmm to establish a new set. You're not allowed to do a Prop 218 that extends beyond the 5 years. We can just set those 5-year rates and then we just stay at that level. We can't say we're going to have a 10% increase in the next 10
so
years.
At this time, it's safe to say that the reason that Prop 218 is regarding the organic, is that that organic fee?
No, it's two parts. So one part is organics, right, and that deals primarily with business. Mm-hmm. That's a new part on this. The other part is the typical residential, driving the garbage truck around, okay, picking that stuff up, has gotten more expensive.
Okay.
And they need something to help compensate for that cost.
So it's maybe safe to say that the state increasing the cost of fuel and mandating raises in wage is something to do.
That's definitely put into it, but even if it hadn't, inflation is a natural part of the
and
economy.
And inflation always
happens.
Yeah.
And so it's appropriate to just, because our job is to charge the correct amount to match with the actual cost of the service.
So this is kind of like how gas stations raise the price on gas because it's more expensive to get. So kind of same concept here.
Yes. Yeah. So costs have gone up over the last 4 years. This catches up with that. And then knowing that costs will continue to rise allows you to set a rate that you would have those increase each year.
We wouldn't fall behind like we've done the last four
correct
years because we haven't had a CPI.
Okay. And the only way those can change is then either to increase beyond this would be another Prop 218, or council decides we're on our own going to decrease the rates. But you don't have the authority to increase them without a Prop 218.
But you can decrease?
Good.
Yeah, if you want to pay out of the general fund,
that's what would happen. Is it would swap.
That's what I was going to ask. So if it doesn't pass, it'll come out of the general fund.
We're hiring people.
Well, we don't want to pay people's rates.
Well, we've done a lot more with the general money, so I mean that's not going to hurt. And this is something that's needed anyway. So,
but anyways, like I said, it's not something that we want.
No,
we don't want to pay more for our
general
money.
I don't know, right?
But you know, like
I was saying, if it doesn't pass, where is that money going to come from? So you're saying it's going to come from the general fund.
If it doesn't pass, the rates don't change.
It stays the same. So there's no.
The rates don't change, but we still have
obligations.
Bills.
We would continue billing the same rate for the businesses, and Mid Valley would continue to receive the same amount per service that they do now. The problem is it's going to quickly disincentivize them to continue providing the service, because they will be losing money.
And they do more than just come pick up our trash.
They do.
It's all in the business. When you have a business, there's a lot of things you got to do for incentives. So
this, really for tonight, this being an introductory item, is mm-hmm to hear back from council if you would like to set a flat percent increase each year, or if you'd like to tie it to that consumer price index.
That CPI is something that's used. I mean,
most contracts have a CPI component to it, outside of just contracts in general. Mm-hmm. But it's very applicable to this situation.
I think that's the best way to go. It could go lower, or it could be higher. So
it could be 1% increase one year.
Yeah.
It could be 4% another year. But if you set all at 3 or all at 5, then the residents don't ever have the advantage of it being less than that amount.
I think initially it'll be kind of a hit if it goes through, because there is like a $2.50, something like that, increase. But then it's less of a change.
Well, that's kind of the idea. I mean, I get the shock initially, but what I don't think you really want, a lot of communities don't want, is to go out like another 5 years
right.
without any increase.
Really,
because
really
that increase will compound
right.
on this one. And
yeah.
it's, you know, yeah, there's a hit, and then it goes gradual. But if you have, even if it's not in the valley, if you have to go out with somebody else, they're going to give you a number, and it's probably going to be bigger than what that is. And so it's a...
Yeah.
It's the same amount of money, but it could be a big hit. And
mm-hmm. yeah.
Whether it's refuse or whether it's water, you know, if you do it incrementally, it's a little bit easier to yes. the pill to swallow yeah. rather than, you know, hey, it's going up $5 right now, or it's going up $10, mm-hmm. you know, right now.
Yeah.
So I would like some input on council on one other thing, and I'm going to have to be a little technical here for a minute. We are going to have in this report two different schedules. To roll up to the one right before. Now, we have a unique situation in Lindsay, and that is that Lindsay has our street improvement tax as well. That's a 23.6% is charged on street programs. It's on our water, it's on our sewer, it's on our refuse. Because of limitations in our accounting software, when we go to print the bills, we're only allowed to put one tax rate on that bill. And the city has a utility user's tax on utilities. That's a 6%. That 6% is shown as a separate line item on your bill, if you remember seeing one. The 23% that goes... You passed around. Yeah. So the 23.6% that goes to streets is built into the rate that shows as the rate for the service, because we don't have another place to put it on the bill.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've been kind of going back and forth with is, how do I present it so that when a resident picks up their bill and says, oh, it says this, and you tell me that this is an increase, but it's not, it's less than what I see over here. Because the one in their hand has that extra 23.6% on it. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be what they see in the table, it's actual vote.
Mm-hmm.
The vote requires us to show the cost of just that service. The streets is not part of that service. It's a different tax mm-hmm. that voters have approved on themselves. And so what I've done here is shown a comparison between us and three other communities.
Yeah, how about Exeter and Farmersville done 218 recently?
I know Exeter, I think, has worked on it. I don't know if they have or not, and I don't know about Farmersville.
You don't know? Okay. We have Joseph from the back. Maybe you could answer that.
Yeah, all three of them have. Wood Lake, Exeter, and Farmersville.
Okay. Just like in the last...
In the last 6 months.
6 months.
Okay. So this, for the
so
Exeter...
So these may not
be
accurate.
Yeah, the Wood Lake one is. And so what that is showing is, even after these increases, we will be behind or below than what Wood Lake charges for all of those, except for the really large commercial six-yard bins. So anywhere you see a blue number means that Lindsay would be less than that blue number. Anywhere you see a gray number on the right is where Lindsay would be more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So even with this increase, we're still going to be charging less than what Wood Lake does.
And potentially, when we don't know, Exeter and Farmers, because they've increased their rates.
Yes, they did. And so the report is written to really go from someone that is inexperienced with how this stuff works, break it down really simply. Please read through it. Give me comments on what you think on its readability, whether or not it communicates what we're trying to as a city. And then I would like direction tonight on whether or not to go for the CPI. It sounds like that's kind of the consensus I'm getting. Is there anyone opposed to going CPI instead of a flat set increase each year?
That's the norm, right? To go with the CPI?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if it's norm or not. I've seen it both ways. But you have some that just say we're doing 5% each year, or some that say 3% each year. It seems more reasonable to me to go with what the actual cost of living increases are instead of a set rate.
Yeah.
So, as far as negotiating, do you have a sample contract of what that entails?
So, they're under contract right now through mm-hmm. June 30th, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And so this doesn't change that that contract.
Well, we're paying more. Does that mean we're going to get something more?
The contract includes language to try to keep up with this. It's just the Prop 218 is required to initiate that process. We haven't done that.
Yeah.
But this wouldn't be, if it passes, the rates won't start until the contract ends, or?
No. The rates would start on the 1st of November.
Of this year?
We could do it possibly on the 10th of, or the 15th of October, but let November 1st feel easier with how our reads go and all of that to make it an easier transition for the bills. Because the meeting would be October 8th, I believe. So if council gives a go-ahead next council meeting, we'd have 45 days plus the time up to the next council meeting, I believe is the 8th of October. And that's when the vote would happen, mm-hmm. and then they could go into effect any time after
that. Are those going to be in Spanish and English, or are they just set for English?
We have them in English right now. And so if council gives different direction, we can do something different. But they're set to be.
So that people know what. So is something's going to be sent out first to let them know, and then it's going to be the voting, or is it going
to
be a
vote? They don't have to come to the meeting to vote.
No.
They can turn in the ballot to the city anytime.
Right, but are we going to send out like a flyer or something stating before this goes out, an informational?
Correct. Yeah, so there's a legal notice we have to send to everyone. All service accounts have to get this notice.
Now, most like apartment complexes, they have one person that pays the utility bill. So it would just go to the
so one per household?
It's one per house.
Service.
Per service account. Okay. Got it.
Well, I guess ultimately it will be in the hands of the people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Are we at a consensus that you want the CPI?
Yeah.
And I want things, how are the vote things in Spanish and in English? The ballots?
Good.
Yeah.
And will these be in Spanish and English as well?
The notice will. We'll have to see when we do the report. I don't know if we need that kind of translation, but we'll see what we can do. But we can do the notice that way. I think that would definitely be fair to the community because it wouldn't be appropriate for those to not understand what's going on and have it affect them. They need to know what's going on.
And if I could add, the community will do what the community does, but from a council standpoint, we've got to pay for the services that we're receiving, and these guys are doing an increase. They're getting chewed up with a variety of things that are going on, and they've got to be able to recoup the money that they're putting in. They can't operate at a loss, and so the end result would be, if this were to fail, they could pull away from us. They'd say, you know what, we can't maintain this contract, and we have, as Mario was alluding to, you have to go out with another RFP. You would likely have a higher rate that you would have to pay, and I don't know what the in between is if you can't find a waste hauler for yourself. So it's kind of serious.
Doing ourselves would cost a lot more.
Well, that's out of our hands. I mean, like Yolanda was saying, it's going to go out to a vote. It's up to the people. That's why I wanted it in Spanish and English. That way there's no, well, I only got it in English. Or you're going to get a lot of people that get an English one, and they're going to come to the office asking, what does this mean?
Mm-hmm. That way it'll be on their hands,
mm-hmm.
you know?
They can't say nobody told us. Yeah, so we didn't want
to know. Or council voted on it.
Okay, so that does it for the presentation I have on that item.
Okay. So Mid Valley would like to say something. Is that appropriate, Mario?
Yes.
Mayor. Here tonight. So, and if anyone has any questions of them, they can ask it.
Good evening, Mayor, Councilwomen, staff. Joseph Kalpikoff, owner of Mid Valley Disposal. I want to start off by thanking staff for their presentation this evening. It was very detailed and thorough. I would like to talk a little bit about where Mid Valley is right now with the current solid waste agreement that we have. And give you a little bit more background than Brett did. We've been your service provider since 2014. We were assigned the contract, and our first year of the agreement, it does allow for a CPI, a consumer price index. It's built into the service agreement that we have with the city. So each year, annually, on July 1st, the contract requires a CPI adjustment to our rates. All right. So that started in 14 when we took over the contract. So the first CPI would be due July 1st, 2015. Being the first year of this agreement, not knowing what our costs were really, we waived that CPI, and we didn't ask the city for it. We met with the city in 2016 and said, hey, we've got this agreement. We're due a CPI. And in 16, they said, okay, well, we'll work on it for you. And a year went by, and no CPI. Okay. In 2017, we met again with the city and said, hey, listen, we've got, our costs have gone up for 3 years. We have not had a CPI increase in the last 3 years. Is there something that we can start getting this CPI? They said, well, we're working on a Prop 218. We'll get it done this year. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you very much. Here we are in 2019. And I have to, for the record, that there is costs that we have incurred over the last 3 years. In meeting with staff, we've actually waived the 2015 and 16 CPIs. We said we don't want those. We just need to get whole in 17 moving forward. And just so you guys have just a ballpark idea of what numbers we're talking about right now in our service agreement, we waived $137,000. That was for 15 and 16. The years we did not waive is $252,000. And that's 17, 18 through July 1st, 2019. I appreciate that we're here today and here tonight, we're making headway. We're partners with the city, as you guys are partners with us. We've provided solid waste collection. We pick up every week. We dispose of your trash every week. We recycle your recyclables. It gets processed. We take your green waste. It gets composted. Soul's out here fighting the contamination issues, educating the public. We've done more than our contract requires, and we'll continue to do that. We're partners with the city. We're a family-owned business. It's what we do, okay? We haul for a lot of communities around here. We did submit to Brett a rate structure which included the $252,000 over an increase over time, so we would recoup that back. He did not add that in your report tonight. He took it out and gave you the CPIs. I want to let you guys know that we did provide that information and what that cost was going to be. It's Brett's position that I think that he says it doesn't apply. Our position is we provide the service, it's in the agreement, and it does apply. So I wanted to come up here. I can't not tell you what we've been doing in the past and just full disclosure on what's going on. Again, we're partners with you guys. We've done our job in the contract by collecting, processing, and educating. I think we've done a pretty darn good job with the amount of complaints we get, which is really low. We're going to continue to do that. I'm asking that with a year and a half left or 2 years of this agreement, that before we look at this rate structure that Brett put together today, which only includes the CPI and nothing of the revenue we actually lost, that we have the ability to sit down with Brett again and the city staff to review that and take a look at it one more time. That's all I'm asking. I'm here for questions. I'm the owner, Joe Kalpikoff. So we sent a letter to the city Monday after we looked at the report, and that was excluded. So they do have a letter from us on that, in our opinion.
Well, thank you for the full disclosure. We usually don't get that.
Thank you, Joe. We can't discuss that, I think, at this point in time, but we will
okay.
In the future.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. With that,
I still have a question. Can I ask it?
Okay.
Brett, on the CPI, so in the contract, the CPI, is that required every year for the rates to go up? Is that a requirement, or is that just something that's being asked?
This
or?
Is something that we would like to talk to council about at a future meeting, if you get a text on that.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'd
let me use some.
Go ahead.
Just so you have a couple of options. Mm-hmm. So you can, Prop 218 says you can build in a CPI, but you have to do it at the beginning. If you don't and you have a contract, every year we'd have to come back and do a 218 for that particular increase. So whether it was 3 cents or $3, we'd have to come back and get that approved.
And what does a 218 cost generally to actually do that, to do the mailing?
And probably a dollar per service, $5,000.
Yeah, not a ton, because I mean it's going to go out to the people we services. It's not a ton because it's not, you know.
Okay, that's all right. Go ahead. Sorry.
But that's the two ways you can do it. I mean, if you do it, you can do it once up to 5 years. And if you decide not to do it in that fashion, then every year you would have to do that, really.
That would be set at the beginning of the contract, correct?
Correct.
That would be set, okay, every year this is how much I want, or I want
at the beginning of the 218.
So you do it at 218, right, and say these, according to the contract, the rates can go up for the CPI. And here's what the rates are going to be for the next 5 years,
okay,
so that they're set, okay, right? And or it, like, sorry, because we're getting we're
right.
Mixing
right.
Up
no, things. No, no, yeah.
If
yeah,
we said 3%, you'd be able to say, hey, those numbers, here it is every year, mm-hmm, right? If you just said CPI, you'd have to wait for the CPI to come out and determine what that was. So maybe mm-hmm, it's 1%, maybe it's 4%, whatever. But you know what it was. But at the end of the fifth year, you have to do the process over again. You can't, or keep the rates the same. You don't have the option to go beyond the 5 years with a CPI increase.
I just want to know how fast we could pay them the $250,000.
So we need to not discuss that tonight. We need to discuss that next time on the agenda.
Well, I really want you to think about, you know, there are positions that you're posting that these are positions that we didn't have before. So I want you to really think about that. Because we have to pay our debt.
We'll have the opportunity to discuss that
at
the next meeting.
Yeah, at the next meeting.
Okay, so you good for moving on to item 10? Or is it 9? It's 9. Discussion on cannabis RFP review process.
Jack, did you bring any of those binders in that you were assembling earlier? You have them. Awesome. So it was requested at the last meeting that we would talk about the cannabis RFP process. Mm-hmm. And so the fees have been paid. We have phase 1 and 2 submittals have been received from 2 applicants. A selection committee has been assembled comprised of 2 senior staff from other cities, Porterville and Tulare. 1 senior staff from Lindsay, that'll be Brett, and 2 cannabis ad hoc committee members, if you desire. It would be Council Member Flores and Council Member Sanchez. That would be the selection committee. It's a total of 5. A scoring matrix has been created. It's in your binder with a maximum of 140 points available. The matrix will be provided to those ad hoc committee council members tonight and distributed to the remainder of the selection committee tomorrow on July 24th. They're out of the area. Selection committee members may grade the scoring matrix remotely. You can do it from home if you want. They are available in electronic form. The scoring matrices should be returned to Jack by Wednesday, July 31st. It's about a week at 4 p.m. Phase 3 interviews would be conducted during the week of August the 12th, and we would hope to be able to make a final selection announcement on August the 23rd. And you have the actual RFP in your package, too, to help make better sense of the scoring matrix, so you can see the questions that were asked and then how we're grading those. Hopefully it's pretty straightforward.
So, those that are asked to help with the scoring, Rhonda and Rosanna.
Yes.
You good with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That sounds fine to me.
Unless you want to take
over. And then we take that big old binder home.
Do you have any other questions for me about this process?
We can have these in sooner though, right?
Oh, absolutely.
This is what we're going to go by?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just so there's a scoring, it's a 6-page scoring card for each of the proposals. And you can take that, it's right there in the binder. And you go through that. Each item in the RFP has an item in that list. You've got to score each of those. And if you just want to put the check mark next to where you think it's scored, Jack can tabulate what that means as far as the overall score. So you read each one and you'll check against all of those.
So obviously there's some reading to do, but they should contact who with questions? Jack with questions about it.
Okay. You ready, Jack?
Thank you, Council. Again, I hope that provides clarity. I think we put together a pretty good RFP. We've built it on the shoulders of others who have gone before us, and we tailored it to some things that were particular about Lindsay. I'm interested in seeing what sort of improvements people are going to want to do for us.
I know.
That's what
me
I'm
too.
I want to know.
All right. Okay.
And thank God there was only two.
Yeah, you know what? Something I would like you to look into is, because you know how they deal with just cash? How do we deal with it?
Well, there's actually a process, and Muni Services has provided, there's some pending legislation about ways of them being able to get away from cash. It's happening at the state level right now. It's still in committee and so forth. It's going to evolve. I mean, California wants this to happen, and they don't want people carrying around, you know, suitcases of cash. Nobody wants that. Well, the people selling it don't want to carry around suitcases of cash. So it'll get sorted, but we're not going to drive it.
Okay, so we're ready to move to item 10.
Item 10, discussion on healthcare advisory committee term length. When I did that weekend update on Thursday, I provided copies of the MOUs and of the funding agreement, I think is what it was called. There's no maximum tenure identified on there. So basically, a council person, a committee person, could serve as long as they want, so long as the council or the board is okay with it. It could be one term or it could be multiple terms.
It's just up to us to decide who's on that.
It's up to you to decide how you're going to do
that. I thought there was something in there that said 12 months.
It says that things could be renewed, but it didn't deal with the tenures. It didn't deal with your time there. I think it's about the budgets and so forth that get established.
Because I read it, and it was like,
And the other thing that I wanted to bring up, because the hospital board, the attorney reached out to us wanting to start negotiating at the staff level, the MOU and so forth. And at the joint meeting that we had, it was agreed upon that if that gets discussed, it'll happen at that committee level, and that's the Wellness Programming Committee. And I wanted to let you know and reiterate, both the MOU and the funding agreement the city has with the hospital district are current and remain in effect through January 16th, 2049. So just bear that in mind as you guys start, if you decide that you want to negotiate that.
What would be negotiated if it's already set?
Well, they called the meeting that we had, and you know how the dialogue went, and people responded as they responded. But the reality is, the hospital district, they provide discretionary funding. They provide money that they don't have to.
Right.
And that money has kept the wellness center and the aquatic center afloat. They've been slowly decreasing that, and they have a desire to decrease that further. If they decrease that, there are going to be services that can't happen there. Potentially, the wellness center may not operate because, as you're seeing, we do not have cash to infuse into the wellness center. And also, if you look at, you know, mission and vision and values, in particular mission, we're providing basic community services to this community because of our financial state. Their purpose to exist is to provide health and wellness services. And so that's a little bit different. We have a different mission. And so the level of commitment doesn't necessarily have to be one for one.
Well, I think the question kind of is, what's driving a decision to change the MOU? And, I mean, on my part, I think the MOU is just fine. And the city might think it's just fine. But
at the meeting, I never heard
I don't know what they want to change.
Regarding change any. That's why I'm asking what, because I didn't hear nothing about changing anything.
They came to the city a couple of different times, the attorney, saying that we think, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but we think that the MOU and the funding agreement require changing, that the city should be doing more than it is. Is that your takeaway of that?
Right. So the part of the contention that came up tonight is the different interpretation of what $200,000 a year from the city means. That's ambiguous. We had one interpretation. They have a different interpretation. And there's a lot of angst over that and some bad feelings over it. The hope was to fix those ambiguous points in the MOU and to update it for today. One of the things that the school district is supposed to do certain things, they're not even a signee or a signer on that agreement, but yet they're required to do certain things. And so there's some updating that needs to happen to that document. The concern we had is that the hospital board sent their staff to negotiate with me when it's the advisory board
through.
That's supposed to do it. And so we told them no, that half the advisors that came back a second time, we said no, that needs to have an advisory board. Now, we're here to advise the advisory board and to give you perspective from the city what that means to the city and the different decisions. The negotiation needs to be between the units that are set up to do that, not between their staff and our staff.
So, kind of basically, we need to find out exactly what they want, and then
now, from that meeting that we had, was that because the city was using whatever the wellness center made, we were putting that towards what the city's supposed to be. But like you said, I mean, I get it. I get it that it doesn't specify anything, but I also get what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what you guys would want to do. If you guys, you know, knowing that we don't have any money, I don't know.
Well,
it doesn't matter. It's city money, right?
It's city money, and bear in mind what our missions are. You know, council's mission is to provide these municipal services to the community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but not necessarily to provide a state-of-the-art wellness facility.
Right.
And that's more in lines with what their mission is, and that they might argue and disagree with that. But from my standpoint, that's where we are. And we are, you know, we have been functionally bankrupt. We are on the mend, but we don't have discretionary money, additional money that we can pump into that.
So the hospital board, the money that they get, and this is just my interpretation, I guess you can say, isn't it they receive that money because we have the wellness center? Because at one point we have the hospital? No?
No, they have a district. So,
oh, the district.
Yeah,
okay.
So, I mean, originally it was for the hospital.
Right.
Right. But their district covers anything. I believe it covers anything, and with any hospital district.
Mm-hmm.
Wellness, I think part of it even can be recreation.
Mm-hmm.
There's basically a list of things that they can do if they're in existence, which is why they can still be in existence without a hospital.
But you're right to some extent in that when we first started talking with them about it, this was going to give them something to contribute to in the absence of a hospital.
That was brought up as well,
so that way that can be freshly in our minds and in theirs, or in case they don't know that portion of it, because they are, you know, there's some new members. I mean, I don't know the entire either of when the contract was made and what the concept of
and
why
when
it was
the
made
contract,
and why it
when the MOU was made. The wellness center was not making any money. So, you know, the city has worked to get people in there paying rent to help cover the costs.
And unfortunately, they would see us penalized for the hard work of getting OMNI in there and getting Pro PT in there and the different things that we were doing. I get their perspective. They would like to say, well, that's extra money coming in. Therefore, we should be putting in our $200,000 plus whatever the facility generates. I get why they say that. We're not in a position to do that. If we were flush with cash,
actually, we've been kind of doing that anyway, because it costs more than what we're bringing in so far.
Another thing to consider, another reason why we want to look at this MOU is that there have been different news reports lately that Cahuilla Delta is looking at maybe absorbing some of these smaller outlying hospital districts.
Yep.
We'd want something in an agreement that says, hey, if you're ever absorbed by another one, this continues.
They got to.
So we don't get shortchanged by something being broken through a transaction their side that all of a sudden gives us the home in the backcourt. And so if the.
I don't think Star would let that happen.
Well.
I don't know that he could stop it.
There should be something.
If you're Cahuilla Delta or you're Tulare Regional, they're hustling to keep themselves afloat too. And I'll bet it wouldn't take much. They've got a census. It wouldn't take much to determine how many people are coming from Lindsay and receiving services at that hospital that they're not receiving
out.
The tax dollars,
yeah.
You know, the property tax dollars from. And everybody's scrambling, and the state is starting to take a look at these districts that do not have hospitals as well to make sure they're following the mandates that the state sets out. I think our hospital district is. I think they're trying to do it the right way, but I think there's some confusion about our missions are not the same. And the fact is, even if it were, we don't have the money.
And I think that was one of the things that I had thought about was, as this committee, we need to have a combined mission and vision that would incorporate both the city aspect and yes. the Lindsay Hospital District Board. I think I put that in my notes. I'm not sure. But... So would it be appropriate, you know, when we have our next meeting in August for us to say like, hey, you know, there's been talk about this. Maybe it is time we take a look at it and clarify some things, both for your best interest and ours.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be okay for us to bring that up?
Absolutely. And we would hope we would hope that some fence mending could happen there. You're both advisory. You know, your teams are advisory. You would come back and advise the city council. They would go back mm-hmm. and advise their board and hopefully have an understanding of the other perspective that's in a less tense environment and, mm-hmm. and hopefully some middle ground. We value them. We couldn't get by mm-hmm. without them. And we get that they're frustrated, but they're asking us for something right now that we can't provide. And as Brett said, there are a few holes in the documents. This thing was put together when they really didn't know what form the wellness center would take. And look how many years we've gone along where we finally have a medical provider in there. It's taken us this long to get it to where it's starting toward maybe a path of self-sufficiency. It didn't happen quickly.
And the thing is, the city has done all the work on that end.
So it sounded like there were a couple things that just mechanically need to get fixed about the agreement, and then maybe some, like the school district, like that needs to be cleaned up, you know, that needs to be taken out. But there's other things, optional things, and maybe we can just get them to redline an agreement and give it to our member, mm-hmm. and that way you guys can start talking about it internally.
Sounds like a good idea.
We'd love to make sure that both of you are really up to speed on the nuances mm-hmm. of it. This my recommendation. I don't think staff should be at your next meeting with you. There's just too much of a conflict right mm-hmm. now. But as long as you're up to speed on things and know the reason behind it, then have that person to invite us in later if you need to. But my office is open to you. Come in, we can talk through it, show you where the concerns are and where the different points of the arguments are set.
Do you know if the city would have old minutes from the advisory committee anywhere?
I would be surprised.
Not. I want to. Oh, the city. Mm-hmm. If the city would have
minutes,
because I think I brought it up. I think Yvette was it Yvette or
did they record it?
I think there was something that was sent, but I don't know if it was minutes or if it was something else. That was
well, minutes may not be taken generally, and they don't have to be.
No, but I think she had sent. I can't remember what she got. Oh no, you know what? I think it was a contract. The contract and then something prior to the amendment or something. So that's something else. I don't know if they record or take minutes at that meeting. I know we have an agenda, but I don't know.
We don't.
So
we
that's
don't.
Something that
but
maybe you don't need to
talking
to
about
just advisory, but
it's helpful to have your knowledge there, to memorialize your conversation. Your staff does that a lot with meetings with other agencies.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we can start it off by saying what it is that they are wanting. What is it that they're looking for? What it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because why? I mean, I wouldn't want to change the contract at this time because of the way the city. I mean, we don't have the money. What?
Yeah.
As much as we would want to.
Well, not change the contract, but clarify.
Well,
yeah, we
but didn't they want to change something from the MOU?
They may, but that's where the redlining comes in. Perhaps Brett could help you redline the areas that cause him concerns with the current status of things, and then encourage the hospital district to do the same on their end, and then you guys get together and discuss, and you can bring back things of merit to your council.
Plan. Where did you see that next meeting was August?
Yeah, the...
August 12th. With them?
Yes.
So that's before our next meeting.
Yes.
Okay.
Night before.
Yay.
We can meet. Before that, if you'd like to come in. I'm gone next week.
Okay. You want to try to set a time?
Do you want us to check together or what?
Yeah, I think so you guys should go in together.
So we can sit together and talk together. whatever day is good for you, I can discuss for the time.
So that 12th, so August 5th through the 9th, is there a particular day?
What day would be good for you?
School starts on the 8th, so before the 8th.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to do either.
You want to do Monday?
The Wednesday or the Thursday, if it's in the. I have other engagements on that.
So Wednesday? Wednesday?
Okay. What time is better?
I will make myself available. So we have
so after 3 would be better. Because we're in training. 3? So 3:15-ish?
At 3:15?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
7.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Item 11 is scheduling special meeting for council senior staff sexual harassment and discrimination training.
Yeah, I sent out a note on that. We seem to have some trouble getting everybody to attend that. Staff's got a cheap webinar that we can arrange, and it would be beneficial to senior staff also. And so if you do it as a council meeting, and you can pick whatever you want. I just suggested August the 20th. It's a Tuesday. It's just in between your two regular council
meetings. I don't have to take that, do I?
I think you do.
Why? Didn't I send you a certificate thing already?
If you have already in the last 2 years, you
I just have to turn it in.
So I need to make sure that it's...
I thought you had to do it within 6 months of assuming all.
So then it's stay on the...
Yeah, but there's an exception if you've already taken it for another employer.
Yeah.
Okay. We've already
so it'll cover over?
Mm-hmm. Well,
and so we just need to see the certificate. You see one for ethics. It was 2 hours and 36 minutes.
No, I gave you one.
And you gave me another one for that. We just have to make sure it was long enough.
Sexual harassment. That's the one that I took for the county, Mario. Mm-hmm.
and Councilor Watson sent one as well for history. It doesn't look like the time is long enough. So
how would I...
So you may, and it's possible, like if you're not a supervisor at your work, you'd get a one-hour training?
No,
and if,
I'm not a supervisor, so...
So you probably, as a councilwoman, you'd have to do the two-hour one anyway. So you
because,
just you'd have
no,
an extra
yeah,
hour.
But I think I did, I think ours was 2 hours because we had to go to the...
So
we did it at the same time. We did with that shooting thing, the shooter.
The active shooter.
And then that was in there.
Well, it's all on the certificate, right?
Mm-hmm. I think it's so. I'm going to open it out again. I'm going to check and see. And then.
Yeah. So what we've found is through, we're members in a law consortium that does a lot of trainings for us. We're actually hosting the training over at the Wellness Center next in October, actually, for several cities that come to this program, and they offer the training for it's $100 for 10 days access to the videos. Yeah. And so we'll have senior staff do it too because we have to go through the same process, and then council will create, hey, just knock out the same night for everybody. Yeah. Have it done.
Might as well.
Is the 20th okay? 6 p.m.?
Please stay.
I'm getting a nod.
That's fine.
Two nods.
I think I can. I'm not sure.
Well, it's a council meeting date anyway.
No,
it's
in between.
So it's the third.
It's a Tuesday, but it's in between.
Okay.
August 20th, you said?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And I will be out of town, but I really
need to. Yeah, that's
what I wanted to do. Yeah,
yours is going to have to be 4 hours more.
And council member Watson said he could make that date.
At what time?
6 p.m. If that works for you.
6 p.m. August 20th.
Do you want it earlier?
No, that's
no.
Okay.
I won't. make it.
Tell Bill if you want.
Are we going to have dinner there?
Subway or something.
We'll have some food.
We'll have some hors d'oeuvres.
We'll have some food there for you. We can do that. Thank you, Council. And it'll be a notice meeting. It'll be open to the public. But the intent is to go through this training for you folks and staff.
But I'm still going to make sure to see mine.
Yes, ma'am.
Mine's okay.
All right. With that, we need to go into